Good morning. How are you?
Good. I just want to remind everybody you're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota. And we are your true community radio station. And on the line, I have Corey Holmes. And let me, I'm saying this so I can get my notes going up here. I'm just wasting a little time here. Corey is running for Manatee County Commissioner, District 3. He's a Democrat. His District 2. Thank you. I'm reading here. I'm just reading from your information here about you. Your platform based on three pillars: public safety, strong neighborhood, and the economy and our environment. You say you support adequate funding of firefighters, emergency medical, marine rescue, and Manatee County Sheriff's Office, etc. Work to promote quality of life issues. We're going to talk about that. All right, Corey, let's start with a little bit about your background, because you have a unique background in the law enforcement area, correct?
Correct. Both in law enforcement and also in the criminal justice area, as far as I was a criminal defense attorney investigator, and I somewhat still consult to do those things. I'm also a safety trainer with the transportation department in Hillsborough County. So I'm what you call a very busy person.
All right, so I guess we should start with, what do you think are the most important issues for Manatee County?
You know, just listening at the last part of your conversation, when we talk about things and the county, I don't know if you follow it by way of on local level government. Our system is so controlled by special interests. And what I mean by that is, you see, you know, the Republican agenda on a local level very strong, and even on every seat on the commission. And, you know, if you follow who's giving money to these campaigns, why is it so important to mislead our communities to believe that these people have their best interests, when in reality that the people that are funding them are special interest people? And so when we have people that have legitimate concerns in their community, in their neighborhood, those things are not being addressed. They're actually put to the side, and they're second to the special interests. So, I have a very bad concern with the fact that, you know, our District 2, in which where I was born and raised, is a high crime area. And if you look back, you'll see where, you know, I was engaged in the District 1 race because of the high crime area and the shootings and the murders that we see occurring in our county. And they're not being addressed. And to this day, you know, I'm a very good friend of Michael Gallons, and I like Michael. But Michael came out very strong with, you know, trying to address this issue, and I actually stood with him. And, you know, he said some things that he wanted to do, but he never followed up on it. And it was, you know, I was looking more towards the public safety, you know, part of it to help improve the community. And that, none of that's happened. You know, we've closed Gruber's Market, but that store is in the middle of a minority community, and it's an eyesore, you know. And essentially what you do is, when you take that drug area and you take and close that location, we've essentially pushed that drug business right next to our kids, right next to their bedroom windows. And I'm just not happy with that. From a law enforcement perspective, we have to do better. You know, we have to engage our law enforcement people to help us with this big initiative. And there's ways to do it. And, you know, from my background, you know, what's going to be unique about me is, I understand the sheriff's policies and procedures and how it works. I won't need to phone the sheriff to say, hey, sheriff, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to phone those individuals that work those departments directly. And I'm going to make that area accountable, you know, by way of, let's clean it up. And that, you know, we need a member on that board that has a public safety background, and we don't. 80% of the county's budget goes to the sheriff's office, and it's the least accountable. So I'm very concerned.
You mentioned Mike Allen. I just want to remind our listeners that he is the sitting commissioner currently in Manatee County. And since you mentioned him, a lot of us have a question for you about that, and that is, we have a county commission in Manatee which has one Democrat on it, and that's Mike Gallen. So why would you run against the only Democrat on it? And also Smith is also running for the seat as well.
The latest revelation out of this, I don't know if you follow the news, but Gwen Brown has put her hand back in the hat. That was who Michael beat out. So she's now in the race. So that just I just saw that article yesterday in the news that Gwen is now back in the race. And a part why I think Gwen Brown is back in this race is because, again, Michael made a lot of promises to do certain things to this particular community. And because he has not followed up on that is why you're seeing some people utilizing that opportunity, you know, and you know, I like Gwen Brown. I know her personally. But Michael was strong at going after Gwen Brown and saying things concerning Gwen Brown's record, I think, because he didn't really follow up on the things that he was attacking her on. Is why she feels the need to be back in the race.
All right, so one of the questions I like to ask our candidates is, what is the actual role of the commissioner here? So what can the commissioner actually do, and what should the expectations be, the realistic expectations for the county commissioners?
Your county commissioner is the liaison between the public, the commission, and they should be the voice of the people. You know, they should look at all the facts and the problems that are going on in each particular district and then as a county as a whole to collectively bring forth what's best. You know, 9 times out of 10, when you see these commissioners dialoguing and the lack thereof, it's because they're coming to the table with their minds made. At least, I would say at least 5 of them. I would say Robin DiSabatino doesn't appear that way and Michael doesn't appear that way half the time, but at least 5 of them come to the table with some kind of consensus. And that's concerning because as an investigator, when these people lack dialogue, that means that someone, I'm not saying they're doing this, but there's an appearance there that they come to the table with their decision made. And that is very troublesome because we elect each of them differently to dialogue, to not be on the same page all the time. And it just, there's an appearance there that they're always on the same page.
All right, so one of the issues recently which we've been covering is the Long Bar Point development there. And walk us through what your view is, how the commission handled this and how you might handle things if you were elected.
Well, the problem you have with the Long Bar Point, you had a lot of residents who live in that particular community that basically those people showed up. They were at the Civic Center. I mean, the community time and effort was invested, and it was ignored at the end of the day only because if you look at the money of, you know, Carlos Baruth, he's going to be heavily involved with shifting money into these campaigns, especially Carol Whitmore's. He's going to be heavily invested and put money into Gwen Brown's campaign, and they're going to use a guy, and I want you to follow this name. They're going to use a guy by the name of Malcolm Stevenson. You know, he's the guy that they use.
Just say that one more time. You just dropped out. Just repeat what you just said, please.
Malcolm Stevenson, you know, lives in Ellington. I've done some research on him. And he's the guy that they use to do the nasty political mailers to totally mislead the facts and reality just to get their agendas through and to get their people on the commission. So it's going to be very important that message gets out there to the public. That, you know, those mailers are never hardly true.
So you're, as a commissioner, you're saying that you're trying to balance some of the developer issues versus the environmental issues. That's what you're saying here. And that some mailers are not representing the facts as you see it?
Correct. They're all, it's all political to get their agendas through and to get the people they want on there to serve their cause and not the people's cause. And, you know, when you look at it, you got to look at the fall of it. Betsy Banag, Gwen Brown, they're all connections. Those are all the connections through to their agenda. And so that part is very troubling, you know. You know, why would we take a 16-year incumbent and now throw her back in a race against the guy who beat her? It doesn't make sense.
All right, I guess the other sort of obvious question is here, let's say you do get elected and now you're outnumbered by these other commissioners, how are you going to get things done given the somewhat controversial or not so friendly nature of the rest of the commissioners to what you're saying here?
The key thing, and this is where I look at a lot of my background in investigating, you have to be able to, through facts, show that some of the things that these people are doing, that they're getting away with, meaning commissioners, it's borderline, it's violating the Sunshine Law. And a lot of times, and that's where I'm going at, you know, with people coming to the table with decisions made and there's no dialogue, do we elect them? We elect each official to be different, to not all agree or to disagree. We don't see that occurring. You see Robin standing up for her people in her district and she gets beat up. You know, you see Michael occasionally, he'll step out of line and he'll do the right thing, like the half a cent sales tax. I was adamantly against that. And I love Michael to death. He was the one who made the original motion to push it through. And, you know, no one had any idea or plans as to how this whole thing was going to work, but it was being railroaded through. It was being pushed very hard. And the people that would have made money off of this were the people who had an interest, even from our commission. And so you'll see where I filed an ethics complaint on Carol Whitmore because of it.
All right, one second. We're losing. Just repeat. I'm just not sure where we're going with this. Just repeat sort of what was the point here?
Where I'm going with this is that, you know, our commission, they're typically working in hand and conjointly with each other, and that's why we're not getting the people's agenda first. Until we divide the board and make it about what's right and listening to what the people's concerns are, we're going to continuously have these issues. But how am I going to get through to this board? Well, I'm going to represent the people in the district, and then I'm going to represent what's best for Manatee County. And I'm going to bring the facts based on my experience as an investigator. I'm going to be a very fact-finding person. And if they're willing to go against the fact and not serve the will of the people, that's going to be shown. That evidence is going to be there. And you have to be able to do that in such a way, an articulate way, to where they're held accountable. And I think I have the ability to do that because it has not been done on the board this far.
All right, so some of the issues that are coming up with the board are, of course, job creation, the economy,
right,
tax breaks,
right,
millage, those kinds of things. And I'm sure people will be interested in what your approach. And we're just about half past the hour. You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPF in Sarasota, Florida. And this is the voice of Corey Holmes, who's running for District 2 County Commission in Manatee County. So walk us through some of your solutions to some of the economic issues.
Well, I'm going to be adamantly against raising the taxes at all. I will be very vocal about that. I think we need to cut some things. First, you know, how do we hire the administrator and we give him such a lavish deal? I'm talking Ed Hunsinger. And that agenda was, again, pushed through. You know, so county employees are taking a hit financially. You know, our EMS people, these people run call to call to call. To protect the public safety and well-being of us. And they're giving no resources. They're not given adequate raises, but we have the money to negotiate a contract with Ed, who makes a lot of money, and then we tell our people at the lower end we don't have any money, that we have to cut. Now, that message is wrong. And, you know, if we have the money, we have it. But why should we buy him out of his contract and his retirement and give him some deal, even after 5 years from the time that he's left, he's going to be paid medical insurance. I mean, that doesn't happen in the regular business world, so why are we doing it in a public setting, a government entity? So there's a lot of things that needs to be questioned that we're not questioning. And I think Robin's kind of rocked the boat a little bit, and Gallen's kind of rocked the boat a little bit. But until we get at least three strong people that are willing to stand up against those agendas, we're going to be crapshooting. And where I'm going to tell you is, you know, Michael's a great man. I will never take that away from him. But if you look at Michael's background, Michael's got strong Republican ties. Father's a staunch Republican. Mother, Republican, just recently switched to being a Democrat. I have fought with that a little bit, too, because, you know, I obtained my values from my parents. And so I'm concerned, you know, when he has, you know, issues that he has strong Republican ties to, when those agendas come forward, he's not able to really vocalize because he's worried about those relationships. I have none of those. So I think I'm going to be more forward. I'm going to be more strong. And I'm bringing more facts concerning those issues. I have no ties to any of those people. And that's what we need on that commission.
You also mentioned some some bridge issues that are up, the Tower Bridge, Fort Hammer Bridge, et cetera.
Let's touch on the Fort Hammer Bridge, because that's one that's really been a problem for me. The Fort Hammer Bridge, that area has truly, 10 years ago, there was a plan, too, to put a bridge at the very, if you follow Ellington Gillette Road, nobody's really looked at that plan to put a bridge, you know, for south-north mobility. But going to the Fort Hammer Bridge, I have a serious safety concern with that particular bridge from a safety standpoint. You know, that area is developed. We have cars at a high rate of speed, that are used to the speed limit now. We put a bridge there and we widen the roads. We're essentially saying that you know, we don't care about the traffic study, the flow of traffic. And you're being reactive because we're behind already. So merely just putting a bridge there is not going to help fix the traffic problem from Lakewood Ranch into Parrish. It's convenient, but it creates a situation to where it's not safe. Now, there was an EMS study, too, where they were looking at, you know, because they needed the mobility of the emergency medical services. Well, that ambulance truck would come from Dam Road. Now, why wouldn't, and Dam Road is just north of Rye Road, so why wouldn't we, on 64, let that truck come from Dam Road, go to Rye Road, and just expand Rye Road? It's on the outskirts of all of the development. It's not in the middle of a major development, of neighborhoods. So that is safer. And, you know, we're spending all this time and money and resources on putting this bridge in the middle of a developed community when it's simply not safe. So I do have a strong problem with that bridge.
One other development I want to ask you about, and that is the Preston Farm out on 75th Street. That one is coming up. We just heard about that. Comments about the development out there, which could dwarf even the Long Bar Point development.
Well, I'm just going to go back to Long Bar real quick. The problem there is the environmental impact. You know, you have Terry Wonder, who did an outstanding job at focusing and bringing the people together to give input on what they thought. And, again, that was all discounted. And, you know, it was more politically driven. You know, I think Carol was really the one that made that happen with her vote. And, you know, sometimes you got to set those people who give you money into your campaign, set it aside. You know, obviously it's going to cause you not to make a fair decision on what's right. And I just want the people's opinion to count. Whether it's any kind of development, the people have a right. Your job as an elected official is to take that evidence, that information, and bring it forth. And you make a decision based on what their needs are, what they want. Not because of a person giving money into your campaign. And you're not going to see me asking for any money from any developer, because those developers, and I like Pat Neal, you know, and he tries to do a lot for his particular community. But I'm not going to say I'm going to be against all development. I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to look at is what the needs of this county are and what the people are asking us to do. And then I'm going to take the information on development, and we're going to bring it together, and we're going to make the decisions that are best for the county.
All right. We're listening to Corey Holmes. He's running for county commissioner. We're just about out of time. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to just sum up. What should our listeners know when they go to to cast their votes? What do they need to know about you?
The biggest thing is you know, I have been very committed to public service throughout my early teenage years. I was a cadet with the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. So I know a lot about Manatee County, being that I'm homegrown. I'm born and raised right here in Manatee County. That's important to relate to people. A lot of these people need to know that they're going to have a representative that's going to first and foremost do my job as representing them. That's the number one thing. And I've been a very vocal person, and making this county accountable is going to be my number one goal. You know, for so long, and you were talking about, I'm just going to shut off real quick. You were talking about a conversation earlier on your station about the KKK and certain things. You know, I am very disturbed
that people and their connections and their special interests, they always go before the public. And I'm very disturbed at that, you know, because we can stack the room for our agendas if we want them to go past. And they did this in the 0.5% sales tax. They stacked the room to get their agenda through. But at the end of the day, the people showed up and they voted and said no. That's where we have to engage this county to get people to fix their county and stop letting the special interest people mislead our county and take the rights that they have. And I will, without a doubt, represent their right.
All right, Corey, is your website up? Do you have a website up yet?
Actually, what I've done is I have created a Facebook, and I'm networking through my Facebook because that's the best social media network I'm going to do.
Okay, so if people want more information, you're encouraging them to go on Facebook to get
correct.
That, correct?
Okay, that's correct.
Thank
then
you.
Democracy, go to Corey Holmes, vote Corey Holmes at democracy.com is also my website. You'll see my information on there as well.
Very good. All right, thank you, okay. Corey. We'll be hearing more. Hopefully later on we'll be able to get okay. several of the candidates together in the studio, but I want to talk to you each individually first, and we're doing that now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Okay.